I want you to get your Bibles out and turn to Matthew chapter number 4. Matthew chapter 4. This is lesson number 24 on the subject of destructive behavior. Lesson number 24, I'm going to call it destructive leadership. And you'll understand as the night progresses. Matthew chapter number 24. No, I'm sorry, Matthew chapter 4. And if you'll stand with me, Matthew chapter 4, starting with verse number 17. Matthew chapter 4, verse number 17. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And Jesus walked by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And they straightway left their nets and followed him. Now down in verse number 19, "And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Tonight, I want to, those of you that are leaders, I hope you'll listen to me. I want to teach you some very, very simple truths about the subject of leadership. I think so many times leaders hurt themselves. And so this is about a leader who is somewhat destructive to their own leadership. And let's pray. Father, bless us. Control my mind. Help me to get the point across. I pray, Lord, that our people, as we take on the responsibility of leading, whether in our homes or in our ministries or wherever, that we would be better at it, that because we came to church tonight and that we learned from the great leadership book, the Bible. Bless us now with thy Holy Spirit's presence, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In this story that we just read, Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee. He saw two brothers there that were fishing, Peter and Andrew. They were fishermen by trade, and Jesus wanted them to follow him. And he simply talked to them in language that they could understand. He simply said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." That wasn't real hard. Simple instructions, easy to understand. It was simple, easy leadership instructions. And then here's what it says in verse 20, "And they followed him." Boy, that's leadership and fellowship all wrapped up right there in a nutshell. Jesus made it simple. He made it easy. They could understand what was needed, and they followed. And you know, both of those men, they followed Jesus productively and obediently. Peter was pretty rambunctious and would get himself in trouble here and there, but he always landed on his feet and kept following Jesus all the way to the end. Matter of fact, Peter was actually crucified upside down in the end. They were going to crucify him, and he said, "I'm not worthy to be crucified like Jesus. Turn me upside down if that's how you're going to kill me." But they followed all the way to the end. Now, let me explain. Jesus' leadership was followable. You know, folks, if there's ever a problem between me, the follower, and Jesus, the leader, the problem's me. It's not Jesus. And this in that story, as you look in the New Testament, you'll see Jesus' leadership was followable. Later on, Jesus makes other statements, and I could take you to statement after statement after statement in the New Testament. I'm not going to tonight, but I could show you time and time again where Jesus, as a leader, would suggest something or he would give a command. But you're going to find that all Jesus' commands and all of Jesus' leadership, it was simple. It was easy to follow. He knew what he wanted. He knew where he was going. He knew what needed to be accomplished. And those that had any sense said, I'm going with him. I think I'll follow him. Jesus was a leader, and I really believe that his followers enjoyed following him. I don't know where you're at in your Christian life, but I have to tell you, I love following Jesus. I don't mind it at all. I think one big reason, I know that he loves me and he gave me an instruction book. And there are some people that can really complicate leadership. I think Jesus, though he was, I mean, let's face it, he was the all-knowing, all-capable, all-powerful one. But you notice that he leads the human race in a way that we understand and we like it. I think that's wonderful leadership. Listen, if Jesus ever had a follower that didn't enjoy it, I will promise you it wasn't his fault. There was something wrong with them because there was never anything wrong with him. I want to talk to you about leaders who hurt their own leadership. And I'm not saying that what I'm about, I'm going to describe to you what I would consider some leaders that are kind of hard to follow. Not impossible to follow, just kind of hard to follow. If you're a leader here tonight, I want you to listen to me. Hey, some of you that you say, preacher, I'm not really a leader in any aspect. You probably are and don't realize it. But even let's say that somebody was sitting here tonight and you say, Brother Owens, I'm just so young and I'm just a kid and I don't lead anybody. You will someday. Learn now. Let me show you how I think some leaders destroy their own leadership. Dads, are you hard to follow? Mom, are you hard to follow? Bus captain, are you hard to follow? Are you a preacher that's hard to follow? Are you a Sunday school teacher that's hard to follow? Are you a manager or a business owner that's hard to follow? A teacher that's hard to follow? A ministry director? And whatever aspect of leadership you're in, are you hard or are you easy to follow? I have been in a lot of situations where my place was to be a follower, and I sincerely wanted to follow, but I have needed to follow some people that were extremely difficult to follow, very hard to follow. Now, let me tell you this. I followed anyway. I did not let the complexity of their leadership stop me from wanting to be very sincere, very loyal, and still follow, but they made it difficult. They did. Now, what I'm about to say tonight does not relinquish the follower's duty to follow. You should follow right, even if your leader leads wrong, because we are to be good followers. But are you hard to follow? And I'm not talking about in your opinion. I mean, in your follower's opinion, would they say you're hard to follow? In God's opinion, would he say you're a little difficult to follow? Now, this thing gets even more practical now. I'm going to give you some ideas of people that can be difficult to follow. To every preacher boy, listen to me very, very carefully tonight. I really want to help you. But to all of us, when God gives us the privilege of leading, especially in the church, we should not be difficult to follow. Now, listen, as I unfold the truth. First of all, mean leaders are hard to follow. Mean. I'm going to read to you from Isaiah chapter 5, verse number 15. The Bible says, "And the mean man shall be brought down, and the mighty man shall be humbled, and the eyes of the lofty shall be humbled." Now, here the Bible's talking about a mean person. And let me tell you, there's a difference in being strong and being mean. You know, a leader can be strong, but that doesn't mean they have to be mean. But I just have to tell you, if a leader is mean to people, that's hard to follow. A husband that's mean to his wife, that's hard to follow. Parents that are mean to their children. And I'm not eliminating discipline at all. I think there ought to be discipline, but I don't think that when we lead, I don't think you're to be a rude leader. I don't think you're to be a hateful leader. When you go out in the world and get a job secularly and you find some fella, he's the boss and he's just as rude and cantankerous and mean and hateful because he's the boss. I don't think being the boss gives anybody the right to be abusive to the followers. I don't think God ever intended it to be that way. You say, well, you know, I'm a boss and I'm mean to my employees, but they deserve it. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you what God thinks you deserve. But God's pretty good to you. He's pretty good to you. I think also leaders remember this. There's a difference in fear and respect. Certainly, I would like as a leader to people to respect my position. Well, you really, leaders, I don't think people ought to just be scared to death of them all the time. But mean leaders are hard to follow. And every follower could say, amen, that's for sure. But if there's that hatefulness, that rudeness, a spitefulness, they've got a chip on their shoulder and they're trying to lead, it can be very difficult to follow. Now, let me tell every leader here, if you're a mean leader, you're going to struggle with the people that follow you. You're going to struggle. They may follow. And in some cases, mean leaders can be grateful if they've got some really good followers because they will follow even though you're mean. But the truth is they shouldn't have to go through that. You take a good long look at Jesus Christ and his leadership. He was not a mean man. Now, I think he was a strong man, but I don't think he was a mean man. I don't think he was a mean leader. So, point number one, mean leaders can be hard to follow. A mean leader will destroy their own leadership to some degree. Number two, unpredictable leaders are hard to follow. Unpredictable leaders are hard to follow. James chapter 1, verse number 8, it says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And so when I say unpredictable, I'm talking about someone that's unstable or they're unpredictable. And the Bible uses the term double-minded. Double-minded means that they could go this way or that way. And look, to every leader here, I think a leader has a right to change their mind. I think a leader has a right, if he said we're going to go right, we can go left. I'm in full compliance to that. But I do want to point out to anybody that is a leader that being unpredictable can be a very, that's a difficult characteristic to follow. I think it's good if leaders are readable. It's real good. Boy, if two cars were following each other up the road and one was leading the other, it would be nice if the one out front would give the one behind it some idea what's coming next. And if they make a sudden turn and the one behind doesn't follow along, that's a little unreasonable. And you say, well, they should have been watching more carefully. I think someone that's unpredictable as a leader can be very difficult to follow. Leaders really should develop a readable rhythm in their leadership. And people kind of know what to expect. They kind of get in that rhythm with the leader. And that's so their followers can follow. I mean, if a leader would like people to follow, then you've got to help the follower to be able to follow. And so if you're unpredictable, then the follower's always trying to figure out, well, what's coming next? And you wonder why the follower's not at the top of their game. They're not really sure what game we're playing right now because it's a little unpredictable where we're going. So sporadic leadership is weak leadership. That leader stands up and says to everybody, you need to be on time, and you ought to be on time, and then they're late the very next time you see them. Yeah, that's a little unpredictable. And I'll throw this in here. When I say unpredictable, leaders that are emotionally unpredictable are almost impossible to follow. Is she mad? Is she happy? Well, what's it going to be like? Leaders need to get a smoothness about them. And I'm not saying that leaders don't have emotions, and I'm not saying leaders won't have ups and downs, but I'll tell you what, when a leader's all over the place, they're almost impossible to follow. So a mean leader is going to destroy their own leadership if they're not careful. An unpredictable leader will destroy their own leadership if they're not careful. Number three, unorganized leaders can be very difficult to follow. Unorganized. Somebody is to be leading. There's to be some organization to that. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse number 40, let all things be done decently and in order. To every leader in here, especially the young preacher boys, let me tell you something. You will either learn how to organize or you'll have to hire someone to do your organizing for you, because no church will ever grow beyond someone's capacity to organize that church. And business is the same way. Businessmen will either learn to organize or they'll have to hire someone that has the smarts to organize, because no business will grow beyond that business's ability to be organized, because sooner or later everything will fall apart if you don't get it together. Same is true about you, even in your home. somebody's got to learn to keep something in order and organize. But unorganized leaders are very difficult to follow. Hey, people can't follow your plan if you don't have one. There needs to be a plan. And I would say this, and a couple of you will understand it, but I'll say it because I wrote it down. Leaders don't organize with the people as much as they organize for the people. And I'm for brainstorming and trying to get some things together, but I like getting things in order so everybody can figure out where we're going and what we're doing. Organization means less failure. That's good for the follower. Organization means less hurt. That's good for the follower. Organization means less waste. That's good for the follower. Organization means less mistakes. That's good for the follower. Organization means less confusion. That's good for the follower. I've been asked the question time and time and time again by preachers all over the country. Well, what are the keys to building a work for the Lord? And one of the biggest keys is just organization. You know that God is not the author of confusion. God does not want his people confused, nor does he want his church confused. And so organization is a big part of it. So I think mean leaders can destroy their own leadership to some degree. I think unpredictable leaders can destroy their own leadership. I think unorganized leaders can be very hard to follow. Number four, leaders that are not going anywhere are hard to follow. You say, that's pretty easy. It sure is. Leaders that are not going anywhere are hard to follow. Joshua 14, verse number 12, it says, "Now therefore give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in the day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced." And here's a story of Caleb. He was 85 years of age. And Caleb was 85 years of age, and he was a leader. And you know what Caleb said at 85? He said, "I want that mountain." We sing the song, "I want that mountain. I want that mountain where the grapes of Eshcol grow." He was 85. You know what? He had a plan. He had a goal. He was going somewhere. He wanted to accomplish something. If you're a leader, I got to tell you something. Leaders that are not going anywhere are very hard to follow. There's just a bottleneck of energy there, and it's not getting us anywhere. I've always believed, lead, follow, or get out of the road. Somebody's coming through. But you can't follow someone that's not going anywhere, if somebody's not moving. But I have actually watched leaders expect something when we weren't going anywhere. That's a little frustrating. Leaders with no goals can be hard to follow. And hey, folks, all goals are not numerical. I don't know people. Again, I'm asked a lot. Well, what's your numerical goal for your church? My numerical goal for my church is all of them. Say, what do you mean? I want them all. I want everybody saved that we can get saved. I want to help every family we can help. I want to salvage every teenager we can salvage. So I don't know what the number is. It's too big to write down. I just want them all. You say, well, you're going to fall short. You're going to come closer to hitting it. And what you're going to come to hitting it? So leaders are hard to follow if they're not going anywhere. Leaders with no dreams are hard to follow. Leaders, whether you like it or not, leadership helps create a thing called momentum. And then the people help with the momentum. But if you don't have momentum, it's pretty hard to get things moving forward. So what are we talking about? As leaders, and I'm talking about moms and dads and Sunday school teachers and bus leaders and ministry workers and people at work, managers and business people. Mean people are hard to follow. Unpredictable people are very hard to follow. Unorganized people are hard to follow. People that are not going anywhere are hard to follow. Then, number five, leaders who are always changing are hard to follow. Always changing. Genesis 49, verse number 4, it says, "Unstable as water, thou shalt not excel." Unstable as water. Water's pretty unstable. I'm saddened that Billy Graham has passed away and gone to heaven. But I also know this. He changed over and over and over again. He started out very, very firmly with a plan of salvation, and he had a lot of things lined up fundamentally, but in the end, and it's even said, you can look in some of his obituary in the writings, people say he's not the conservative he used to be. He shouldn't have changed. He shouldn't have changed. I don't think leaders are to be changing. Listen, I can't change the Bible. And so if I will stick with the Bible, there's a part of me that is very predictable because the Bible doesn't change and I can't change if I'm going to stick with the Bible. But leaders that are always changing are hard to follow. I had a man call me just recently from a church. I preached at the church probably 20 years in a row. I preached at the church, and one of his congregation called me and said, I'd like to talk to you. And I thought he just wanted to casually chat, and he began to talk, and he said, our pastor's given up on the Word of God. And I said, whoa, stop. I'm not going to talk to you about this. I am not going to hear that about your pastor. We're going to stop right there. But there's a pastor who's changed. You can be dead sure his people are going to have a hard time figuring out what to do when he, for many years, said the King James Bible is the Word of God and it's the only one that we're going to use. And now he's allowing other versions of the Bible. I've got news for you. When preachers start changing, hey, when leaders start changing, and I know, hey, not everything out there in the world and in business and everything is the Word of God. But in the church, the Word of God is where we establish, it's where we get, that's our foundation. That does not change. And we've got to be careful with change as we change things. And now I'm not just talking about, doctrine or standards. Leaders, I've dealt with lots and lots of leaders through the years. Scatterbrain leaders just set me on edge. Well, I'm watching some scatterbrained guy trying to lead a bunch of people, and I'm going, oh, brother. And when you got people going everywhere, somebody's going to get hurt, and it's going to fall apart. And if you got any meanness to you, you're going to take it out on them later on that you weren't organized, and you didn't have a plan, and you didn't have a goal, and you're just scatterbrained. And let me say to everybody in here, moms and dads, don't be scatterbrained when you're raising your kids. Decide what you believe it, and stick with it. People, let me explain. People need security. Constant change breeds insecurity. Listen, if it's working, stick with it. And the old time way works. With me, I can be boringly predictable. People learn my rhythm, and I pretty well stay with the rhythm. And that, you know what that makes? It makes it so people can get in step. They can follow. They can figure it out. But leaders who are always changing are very difficult to follow. Number six. Leaders who are procrastinators are hard to follow. And they destroy themselves. And the word procrastination, young people, that means people that put things off. They delay things. They wait too long to get it together. But leaders that are procrastinators can be very hard to follow. And to all the leaders, this lesson in no way, shape, or form is an attack on leadership. I'm trying to show you what not to do, because if you do these things, you make yourself difficult to follow. You are destroying your own leadership. And in essence, it's God's leadership that He gave to you. But leaders that are procrastinators can be very difficult to follow. The Bible says in Proverbs 3:28, say not unto thy neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give thee when thou hast it by thee. It's talking about somebody, he said, don't go putting things off. Do today what's supposed to be done today. Don't be a procrastinator. My secretary used to have a sign that she would hang in her office. And I think I had 10, my last church, I had 10 or 11 assistant pastors, and we had 66 staff members. And my secretary would get a lot of attention. It's very difficult to be a secretary at a school or at a church. Very, very difficult. But my secretary had a sign that she hung up on her filing cabinet where everybody could see it. And it said this: procrastination on the leader's part does not constitute an emergency on the follower's part. And what would happen is men would put things off and then come see my secretary and want her to kind of bail them out. And they needed it now. And folks, listen, procrastination will mess you up. And leaders that are procrastinators, constantly putting it off, constantly looking for a better day, you will hurt your own leadership. Leaders who suddenly have last-minute expectations of followers, they can be very hard to follow. I had a leader one time in my life that just had me on edge constantly, because just at the last moment would say, well, we're going to do this, and we're going to do that, and we're going to do this. I'm thinking, oh my goodness, how are we going to do all that? I didn't even see that coming. And I'm pretty versatile. I adapt pretty quickly, but to the point where I was almost frantic to go into the leadership, because I thought they're going to come at me and they put everything off to the last minute, and we're all going to embarrass ourselves up here in front of people. We didn't even know what we were doing until the last minute. Listen, procrastination usually creates a lesser quality of product in whatever it is. I even believe that preachers, any of you guys that are ever going to preach, you wait to the last minute to pull your sermon together, you're not going to preach the best sermon you could have preached. You don't put good sermons together by trying to come up with it 10 minutes before sermon time. You say, well, how long does it take? I preach sermons that have taken me 3 and 4 months to prepare. And they're the sermons that people never forget. But I didn't wait to the last minute to try to figure out something real quick to just pull it off. Procrastination is a destroyer. And for some of you, procrastination will ruin you if you don't pay your bills, you don't pay them on time, and you put it off, and you know you don't take care of what needs to be done to the car, and you procrastinate getting the house fixed that's broken, procrastinate not get that machine fixed that needs fixed. It'll cost you. But leaders that are procrastinators are very hard to follow. My opinion is real leaders think ahead for the sake of the followers' ability to follow. If I can think ahead and I've got everything in order and I hand something to a follower, they don't feel like at the last minute I tried to pull a bunch of things off. Mrs. Clark and I work together a lot. She runs our fellowship ministry. She'd tell you, we'll plan some fellowships 2 months in advance. We'll sit down, figure it all out 2 months in advance. Why? Well, I want her not to panic about what's going on. Then she's got a handful of people that help her, and I'd like for them to know what's going on. Then I don't want everybody over there setting up for a fellowship being angry and mad and hasty with each other. And I don't know what's going on, and how are we going to do this? And the reason why some people are tense is because they're such procrastinators. They put everything off, and then they want to attack everybody while they're trying to pull it off and not embarrass themselves. Been good had you planned it a little sooner. You wouldn't have to have all that tension in it. So leaders, don't be mean, you'll hurt yourself. Don't be unpredictable, you'll hurt yourself. Don't be unorganized, you'll hurt yourself. You got to be going somewhere if you want them to follow. You got to have some drive, some desire. Don't be changing constantly. They've got to get into that rhythm with you. Don't be a procrastinator. Let me give you another, number 7. Leaders that don't lead are hard to follow. Leaders that don't lead are hard to follow. I love this verse, although it's got a couple words in it that are especially important to me. Isaiah 55:4 says, "Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people." Commander is a leader. Any of you ever been in the military? You understand the word command? Your commander, he's going to lead you. He's going to tell you where to go. Listen. The commander is the one that has developed the program, that knows what's going on, and everybody else just pitches in to make it happen. I am not, listen, if for some reason somebody did this week, I'm not upset with you, I'm not mad about it, but I have a very difficult time with a song leader that gets up and says, "Well, what do you want to sing?" If I were your boss, I'd say, "Well, you were supposed to have that planned for us." What do you think of the teacher that stands up and says, "Well, what do you want to learn?" You say, "I think you're supposed to be deciding that." Sunday school teachers, it's not, "What do you all want to do today?" That's your class. Lead it. Now, I'm not against, Brother Tyler, if you get up on your bus and say to the kids, what's one of your favorite songs, and you sing it, fine. But if that's the only agenda you have is what do you all want to do, you're going to have the inmates running the institution, and they're all going to figure out you don't know what you're doing, and you're not leading, and before long you're going to have discipline problems because nobody knows where we're going. It shouldn't ought to be that way. Have a purpose. Have a plan. Lead by example, not just with words. And to me, leadership is a quality just as much as it's a position. And so, leaders that don't lead can be extremely hard to follow. I'll give you a couple more and then we'll be done. Number 8, I think leaders who are disloyal are hard to follow. Give me a leader... Give me a preacher that's disloyal to the Word of God and figure out how hard that is to follow. What do you do when a leader won't be loyal to the Word of God? Genesis 3:12, this is really funny to me. This is a story of Adam and Eve, and you remember Eve takes the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and you know the story. Genesis 3:12, it says God has asked Adam what's going on because Adam and Eve have messed up. And listen, God says to Adam, he said to Adam, what's going on here? And Adam says in Genesis 3:12, the woman who thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree. What a cop out. Tell me if that guy's tail is not between his legs. He's saying, you gave me, and virtually blame God. He said, the woman, and I'm sure God went, rolled his eyes. And then Adam said, okay, I can't get out of it that way, that thou gavest to me. God said, you're putting this back on me, boy. Step up and lead. What's wrong with you? Tell me, do you think Adam and Eve had a difficult time falling asleep that night? I can see her turn her back to the wall and Adam said, what's wrong? She's not talking to him. Why? He threw her under the bus. He just threw her under the bus. If nothing else, Adam could have just stepped up and said, I did wrong. But he was disloyal. Look, if you're disloyal, loyal people will figure that out. First of all, everybody ought to be loyal ultimately to the Word of God. But boy, and let me tell you, leaders, did you know something? If you disagree with another leader, that doesn't mean everybody has to know what you disagree with. Everybody doesn't need to know that unless you're trying to toot your own horn. And let me tell you something that I read very quickly on people. When you go around tearing other people down, you have a lack of character in your life, and the only way for you to get up is to walk on somebody and tear them down. And I don't appreciate that, and I don't respect that at all. If your only way up is to tear somebody else down, you're weak. You're weak. You say, well, I want to move up. Move up on your own merit, not walking on somebody else's mistakes. Did you know this? I think leaders ought to be loyal to one another. I don't think any one leader is perfect. I don't believe that at all. Don't want you to think that I put a man in front of God or the Word of God. I don't. I've already said my ultimate loyalty is to the Word of God. But I think husbands ought to be loyal to wives and wives to husbands. And there's a loyalty. I believe in America. And my personal opinion is, if you don't like it, leave. Right. I just believe that way. I won't be running for governor anytime soon and getting it, but I believe that, look, if you don't like our country, go find one that you like. Right. I also believe this. I think leadership has, it goes two directions. I believe this. I think a follower ought to be loyal to the leader. But some people leave it at that. And boy, have I watched this a lot. I've watched leaders that demand loyalty. I've watched bosses that demand loyalty. Guys in the military, to be honest, I've watched commanders. I've watched men that demand loyalty of the followers. Okay, fine. I happen to believe that the follower is to be loyal to the leader, and I believe the leader is to be loyal to the follower. You know that Jesus would like us to be loyal to him. We're the follower. I'll promise you something. He is loyal to us. To what degree? when he saved you, he did all the saving to make sure his loyalty was deep and well committed. He said, and this is what he said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Wow. But I happen to believe that loyalty is a two-way street. I think followers are to be loyal to leaders, and leaders are to be loyal to followers. I'll tell you how to cut your throat, leaders. You expect the people that follow you to be loyal to you, but then you turn around and throw them under the bus every chance you get. You say, well, I wonder if I disagree with him. Well, everybody doesn't need to know about it, and you might want to think through and pray about it and make sure it doesn't come between your relationship. You know, people can have differences and still love each other, get along, serve the Lord right side by side. But I will tell you, loyalty is a two-way street, and every leader that learns that, they're far stronger. And what I don't want you to do is don't destroy your leadership. So let me review, and then I'll give you one last point, and then we'll have our prayer requests and we'll be done. Mean leaders can self-destruct. They are hard to follow. Unpredictable leaders, the same. Unorganized leaders, the same. Leaders that are going nowhere, the same. Leaders that are always changing, the same. Procrastination in leadership, the very same thing. Leaders that do not lead are hard to follow. Then leaders that are disloyal. This is the last one I'll give you tonight. Leaders who are in the flesh are hard to follow. Leaders who are in the flesh. Galatians chapter 5, verse number 25 says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. To every dad in here, let me tell you that a dad that is in the flesh as he leads is difficult to follow. Can I tell you how to be easier to follow? Be filled with the Holy Ghost of God. You say, well, I'm not a preacher. I'm not talking to preachers. Now I'm talking to dads. Mom, are you filled with the Holy Ghost? Being filled with the Spirit makes it a little easier to follow. Leaders, you're to be filled with the Spirit. Your flesh will dilute your leadership. And let me tell you why. If I begin to depend on my personality to do all the leading, that's fleshly. I'm bound to make mistakes. Well, I'm going to make mistakes even when I have the Spirit helping me, but far fewer because the Spirit helps lead through me. I'm submitted to that Spirit. And the truth is, I'm following Him, and I hope you're following Him with me. Raise your kids filled, if you will, as you raise them filled with the Holy Spirit. I believe this also, and we've got a lot of business people in here, a lot of people that own businesses. I want to challenge you. You run your business in the power of the Holy Spirit? You'll be far more successful if you do. If you're a teacher, you better teach in the power of the Spirit. If you're a bus captain, whatever you lead, if you'll lead in the power of the Holy Spirit, that'll make you a far better leader. I've been around a lot of leaders. I've been around a lot of leadership positions. I think if leaders would not deteriorate their own leadership, they would be stronger, and those things that they're influencing, building, and investing in would be stronger as well. The lesson tonight is number 24. I call it destructive leadership. Not from the angle of, I think you're destroying people as a leader. I think you're destroying your own leadership if you're not careful. Oh, there are other points that could be added to it. But if you've listened, you've received something very, very practical, very, very usable. And it's anybody in here that has any type of leadership. You know, say you're 15 years old and you're captain of a basketball team. If you listen tonight, there's a right and a wrong way to lead. Our God is a great leader. And I promise you, He comes out with 100% A-plus on His test when it comes to leadership every single time. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Tonight you've heard a lesson about destructive leadership. Don't let it happen to you. who here tonight would say, Pastor, I picked up some things, very practical things, but I picked up some things that would help me as I lead. And God's spoken to my heart about this thing, and I want to use those things to help me. Would you put your hand up and let God see it? God bless you. I hope so. If you need the altar, we will have an altar call. I want you to feel free to use it. Hey, there's some of you, you heard some things tonight for the very first time. You say, I never thought about that. Well, let God use it to help you. And boy, as we all lead around the church and in the community, let's do it the right way. God wrote a great leadership book called the Bible and gave us a great example called Jesus and gave us the right attitude in the Holy Spirit. Let's lead properly. I'm going to ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Do you need a moment at the altar? What kind of leader are you? Sunday school teacher? What kind of leader are you? Ministry leader? What kind of leader are you? Dad? What kind of leader are you? Mom? What kind of leader are you? Husband? What kind of leader are you? Wife? Oh, you're a manager. You're a business owner. You're a supervisor. Hey, even there are teenagers under the sound of my voice. You don't have a leadership position, but there are people in the youth department that look up to you. Hey, there are children that look up to your leadership in children's church. There's children that are looking up to your leadership, young lady or young man, up in King's Kids or in the youth department. What kind of leader are you? Even at work, you say, well, I work secularly, and what the Bible teaches does not work there. You have bought the devil's lie. And even if it didn't work there, you're to live right at work no matter what. Don't you become a part of the backstabbing, throat-cutting, gossipy, terrible way that they live out in the world. You need to use your leadership and use it right. Daniel was promoted in a wicked world because Daniel led right. And Joseph was promoted in a wicked world because Joseph led right. They lived right, they led right, and it helped them to succeed. One more time through the song, if you will, Rachel. And thank you.